And the reason I believe that is because Donnie's got a very clever way of making sure that it comes from the Spirit and not from us. So yesterday morning, Donnie comes to me and he said, "You know, there's something I've been meaning to admit." He said, "I thought about this way earlier in the week," and he said, "I thought to tell you," and then he said, "And then I forgot to," and it didn't come around. And the next day, I was thinking, "Oh, I need to mention this to him," and then it didn't come around. And for a couple of days, and so he said, "So this morning, I just wanted to tell you that I'd like you guys to lead the service tomorrow." So that was about 11 or 11:30, and just after that, we felt like the Lord had given us this prayer assignment to go over to Locks and to do some prayer over there. So Donnie offers to take us. So he takes us on a 7-hour journey.
Only because you had such a big swing for
that. That's true. So we're out for 7 hours, you know. So we come back about 7:15, and of course Katrina has this amazing meal ready for us. So we come and we sit down and have our meal and we're chatting and everything. And of course after that we have our tea and coffee and everything. So about 9 o'clock, I mentioned to Susan. I said, "Oh yeah, Donnie wants us to take the service tomorrow." And so we sat down and prayed. And so I thought, well, Donnie's got a clever way to make sure that there's not anything of us in there, because we didn't have time to think up of anything clever ourselves. And so we just have to trust that the Holy Spirit has something for us. And I think He does. I think the Holy Spirit's got a message and just some testimony and stuff to really stir our hearts for what God can do. And to stir our hearts for how God can use us and use the gifts and the talents and the strengths that He's given us to release His kingdom wherever we're at. To release His kingdom certainly in our communities and on this island and in our relationships and our workplace. And God's designed and created each one of us uniquely. And He doesn't expect us all to be the guy on the podium. You know, that's He... The gospel flows through relationship. The gospel flows through reality and through us being who we are and the Holy Spirit revealing Himself through us in our own unique way and character and a lot of times through the gifts and the talents that He's given us. And sometimes we can look at ourselves and think, "Who am I? What have I got to give?" But everything, God puts those desires in us that we pursue something and develop different gifts and talents. And ultimately, He intends those to be redeemed, that we can be a reflection of His glory through that. And this isn't what we're, this bill testimony of what we're talking about, but I'm reminded when Susan and I both work with a ministry called Youth with a Mission, and the acronym is YWAM. And when YWAM, in the early days of YWAM, it was getting started, and the founder of YWAM, Lauren Cunningham, felt like they were supposed to buy a ship and use this ship as a floating hospital and to, you know, to go to Africa and some different areas on the coast of Africa and eventually all over and to bring be this floating ship and to bring, you know, healing and surgeries and stuff through that, and also to share the gospel in different ways. And so anyway, I think by this time they'd managed, can't remember, they all gathered in this little farmhouse in New Zealand to pray about this vision. And Lord, how is this going to come about and everything? And so they're praying into it. And out of the blue, they get, I can't remember if it's a phone call or knock at the door or something. But anyway, this person comes to them in the midst of them praying and says, "You know what?" He said, I feel like the Lord has called me into missions, to be a missionary or whatever. And he said, "But I don't really, I've never had any Bible training. I don't even, you know, I don't know the Bible like you guys and everything, but I've heard about you guys." And he said, "I've been a ship captain my whole life." He said, "All I know how to do is captain a ship." He said, "Is there any way God can use me?" You know, they need a ship captain. This is a great vision, but if you don't have somebody to pilot that ship, you know, it's not going to happen. And so just as I was sharing that, I felt like everything, you know, that we have, God can use and redeem. Mm-hmm. And so we're gonna share a story this morning of a ministry that God has birthed out of a couple people that worked with YWAM. They're not with YWAM now, but that were YWAMers at the time. And the reason we want to share it is not necessarily to share about the ministry itself, but to share about some of the tools through this, how God has revealed some tools and some ways to reach people that are a bit out of the box, but they're actually, it's pretty profound and it's pretty simple when we do it, because it's just doing the stuff that we as the church should be doing, and it's a way to really bring people into encounter with God. So we're going to tag team a little bit on this, and so we might just jump in, even you know, if one of us has a testimony or something, or reminded of something, we might jump back and forth. But we've got a little bit of an order to what we're going to do, but just so you work with the flow of what we're going to do. So I'm going to start and just share a little bit of the story of how this was birthed, and then we'll go from there. But basically, we had a prayer meeting in our village. This is probably, I don't know, 10 years ago now. We started this prayer meeting, a handful of us, and we were just praying for revival and praying for God to move. And for a while, this idea of a spiritual awakening really came to us. And we just started to pray that God would just bring about a spiritual awakening. Because everybody just seemed to be, you know, I mean, we have a poor area of the village, but we also have some extremely wealthy people in the village, and probably the vast majority are somewhere in between, kind of content with their lives. And we just felt like people are just content with life, and their spirits are dull. Their spirits are just, and they need to be awakened. So we start praying into this for a couple months, and that was kind of the theme for a while. And anyway, one day, one of us comes in with this flyer that we'd found in one of the shop windows, and it was about a psychic fair that was going to take place in the village, in the village hall. And man, we got that and we gathered around. We're like, man, Lord, how do we stand against this? What do we need to do, you know, about these people, these psychics coming into our village and bringing this stuff? And the Lord spoke to us and he said, you asked for a spiritual awakening. He said, I've awakened their spirits. He said, but the church isn't there to respond. The church doesn't have an answer to the hunger of something, people's hunger for something beyond themselves, for the reality of the Spirit. The church has an answer of, you know, the do's and the don'ts and stuff like that, but the church didn't have. And so when this awakening, people's spirits were awakened, they didn't even think to go to the church for a spiritual encounter. And they saw this as an opportunity to fill that void, that hunger in our spirits that's looking for something beyond ourselves, something supernatural. And sadly, these guys are delivering the goods. It's not, they're not from the right source, and it's not the good goods, but they're delivering something that was, you know, that cry was for. And so this really shook, especially one of the women in our group, it really shook her, and she thought, what is it they're looking for? And what are they finding in this place that they're not finding in the church? And so she set out on this journey of really pursuing that and understanding that. And she would even go into some of the psychic fairs and she'd question people, you know, and what are you searching for and everything. And long story short, it brought her to, gave her this vision of setting up something. One thing she realized is that the language that we use in church can put up an immediate barrier for people. Either one, because it's foreign language to them, they just don't understand it. It doesn't have any meaning to them. Or it does have a perceived meaning to them. And so when they hear church or they hear Christian, all of a sudden they go back to their dead, dull, dry church that their granny goes to and drags them along to every now and again. And so some words are packed with meaning, but it's not the right meaning. And so they decided to strip away all the kind of Christian-y, churchy language that wasn't helpful. And they started to look at the language they were using and realized that the enemy has actually hijacked a lot of good language. And And they were using language that's really, the language is neutral, but it can have different meaning, you know. So they realized, well, wait a minute, we can actually in full integrity use a lot of their language, but we just have something different behind it. And so an example of the language would be, you know, meditation. As soon as you say meditation, I'm taken back to, you know, some yoga person that's sitting there, some guru that's meditating and stuff. Meditation should be a Christian word, you know. We're going to meditate on the Word of God. We're to chew on, you know, the Word of God and the things of the Spirit. And so, you know, that's just one example. And so she started talking to these different people. And, you know, they talk about, you know, that they had a spirit guide, and they're all excited about what their spirit guide was, you know. And again, we hear that and think, you know, that's weird, you know. We have a spirit guide. The Holy Spirit was given to guide us into all truth. We have the spirit guide, the ultimate. We have the Creator Spirit, the Spirit that created all the other spirits, as our guide. And so, you know, now we can, again, somebody talks about a spirit guide. So, man, I've got a spirit guide too. You want to hear what my spirit guide says? And it's powerful, and there's no barrier there. You know, they like to talk about their source. What's your source? You know, we have a source. Again, Jesus is our source. He's the well of living water. He's the life that flows out of us. And so we have a source too. And so all these different things, we realized if we just alter our language a little bit, and alter the container that we put ourselves in, all of a sudden we can create a place where people are quite comfortable to walk in to. And so long story short, they developed what they call this ministry called Light and Life. And Light and Life does a few things, but one of the big things that they developed as Light and Life is that they put on their own Light and Life fairs. And so they'll book out it might be the village hall, it might be a pub, it might be a banquet room in a hotel or whatever, just whatever room is available in the community, a community center. And you book that out, and you create all these different stalls. And to the person coming in, it looks very much like a psychic fair. We even have our flyers, you know, kind of have light and color and all this stuff, and it says Light and Life on it. And so there's nothing that puts them off, and it actually attracts them, you know, because they look like them. And so when they come in, then we have all these different stalls that they can go to. And, you know, instead of the tarot card reader and the person that reads your aura and the angels and the crystals and all that stuff, we have stalls for spiritual readings and spiritual art and dream interpretation and healing for your body, soul, and spirit. Mm-hmm. And we have one, we'll explain some of these, we'll go in and explain a little bit of what these look like. We have one called hand massage, where people can encounter the touch of God. We have one called prophetic personality styles. And the gist, the vast majority of everything we do is based on the prophetic. And the prophetic is quite simply hearing the voice of God. And that's something that every Christian, that, you know, hearing the voice of God should be Christianity 101.
Right.
When you become a Christian, right. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." And if we're one of his sheep, then we can hear his voice. And if we can't, we need to learn his voice. I remember one time I got a phone call. I was in my office, and I got a phone call. And I answered the phone, and this woman immediately just starts talking to me. And for 45 minutes, this woman just, we had this big long conversation. She did most of the talking, but we had this big long conversation. Never once in that entire conversation did she ever identify herself. She just started talking. You know, at the end of the conversation, I said, "Okay, Mom, I love you, and I'll talk to you next week." You know? She didn't have to tell me who she was. I knew my mom's voice. I knew the kind of things that she talked about. I knew what was on her heart. I knew her heart for me. And there was no question. Immediately, I knew her voice when I picked up that phone. That's how we as Christians can be. And that's how God wants us to be. And when we can hear the voice of God, then we can release the life of God into people and into our communities. And so, this Light and Life was just creating a context for where people are willing to come in and sit down and let us share the heart of God with people. And so, just very briefly, because we don't really want to necessarily, you know, explain too much about the fair, but just some of these tools and stuff. But a fair might look like, you know, somebody walks in and I'll kind of orient them and I give them a little card and it's got all the different stalls that we have on offer and they can choose which ones they want and they go and get an appointment. And so if you get an appointment at the spiritual reading stall, you come and sit down and the person sitting there will, well, Susan's going to share a little bit, but basically for about each appointment lasts about 15 minutes. We have 15 minutes to prophesy over that person.
Yeah.
And to share the heart of God with them. And then they go to the other stalls, and they hear the heart of God at the different stalls. And what we find remarkable is that, I mean, I hear it over and over. I kind of have a fun job because I'm the one that, in our village, I'm the one that puts these together. And so we, for two years, we were doing them every month. And then now we're doing them a little bit. We're doing them maybe three or four times a year. And then we've come up with another idea off that. But so my job is to welcome people in, and then I kind of float around and, you know, how's it going and what are you hearing and everything. And the whole time we have live worship going on in the background, you know, and just cultivating and creating the presence of God. So when people come into that place, they just step. We've determined the spiritual climate of that place, and they step into the presence of God. And it's powerful. And so I just mill around and talk to people and everything, and, you know, I talk about the atmosphere. It's amazing, you know, and I'll ask them, you know, seeing your spiritual readings, how's that? And two of the things we hear most commonly is, one, how did you know that? You know, and the other thing, and of course we say, we don't know that. It's Jesus, but Jesus does, and he speaks to us, and he told us things to encourage you. And the other thing is, you know, they'll say, gosh, it was crazy. I heard the same thing, roughly, a very similar thread, at two or three of the different stalls. And again, because the Holy Spirit comes and he speaks, and he wants to confirm it, so he hears it. I'm trying to be careful because we want to describe a little bit the stalls, and so I don't want to jump into that. But you'll hear a little bit more when we describe what some of these stalls are. But basically, they've come across a way to create an atmosphere to where we as Christians can do the thing that should be very natural for us to do. Mm-hmm. And in a place where their walls aren't up, their barriers aren't up, and they're ready to just receive, and we speak life into them, and it blows them away.
Yeah.
Because their sources aren't always encouraging. Their sources don't always bring a good report.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, there, you know, there can be some pain associated with it, with, you know, some of these other things in the long run, the more they delve into these different things. And so we've just discovered, so one of the things we're starting to do now is take the big thing, and people come to have a real encounter in Light and Life, and we say, well, look, we're going to start doing Light and Life home parties. If you want to gather half a dozen of your friends, we'll bring a small group of us, and we'll come into your home. And, you know, a little bit like a body shop party or a Tupperware party or something like that, you know. And you know, you can have a nice night out, have, you know, some coffee and tea and drinks and cheese and crack wine and whatever. And then we'll come and we'll do some scripture readings and we'll do some spiritual art for you. Or we'll have a night of dream interpretation. Everybody just come and share your dreams, and we're gonna ask the Lord to reveal what some of these, you know, dreams are that you've got. That's another one. I don't know if I mentioned that. We do dream interpretation. And so we've done these fairs. The other fun thing we do is we'll take a Light and Life stall and we'll go into the psychic fairs. And so people are going around, you know, and I remember one I went to in our village, and there was a tarot card reader over here charging £25 for them to read your tarot cards, and somebody over here that had this machine that would read something, and somebody doing Reiki healing where they just, you know, release some energy over your body and everything. And they're all charging, and we're, of course, doing ours for free, and ours is better. And they're having these amazing encounters. And I remember over the course of one weekend, it was a Saturday and a Sunday, by the end of the weekend, I'd say we had at least 70% of the other stall holders ended up coming to us. Because they were people were going to them and saying, man, those guys over there told me this and that and everything. And the Lord spoke something to me. Going into it, I was like, man, it's us and them, and these guys are the bad, you know, they're the competition, and we've got it. And we did, you know, we were careful to create our space and really, you know, cultivate the spiritual atmosphere that when they step into our space, they're going to step into something different than they do everywhere else. But what I realized, the vast majority of all the people coming, and the vast majority of even the other stall holders were, they were hungry. Their spirit was awakened, and they just you know, looked in the wrong place, and they found something that kind of tweaked that a little bit, and so they'd gone deeper into it. But when they saw the real deal, man, they loved it. And so I realized, man, these guys aren't, you know, the people that go to these things aren't bad, dodgy, terrible people. They're hungry people. Mm-hmm. They're probably more primed to engage with what we've got, with the Holy Spirit, than your average person that's a businessman and's got, you know, making a good amount of money and happy with his life. You know, those are the hard ones to break into sometimes, because they're a little more content with life and they don't realize the need there. So anyway, that's kind of a broad picture of the ministry, and I can tell you, doing these every month in our village, we have changed the spiritual atmosphere in West McBride. And we have heard, I've heard several testimonies, you know, people, comments of people come in that they've either said to me or friends of ours or whatever that, man, there's something different about this place. Some girls came to help my daughter. She's doing a course in filming. They came to help her do some filming. And it was a kind of a rainy, dreary day. It wasn't a very nice day at all. And they got there, and we took a break for lunch, and a couple of them walked downtown to get some food and everything. And they came back to the house, and they're like, man, there's such a peace in this village. It's such a nice village. And I was feeling bad because it wasn't at its best by any means, you know, visually. But they were sensing something in the atmosphere, and they experienced a peace there that they didn't have where they were from. And so we've shifted, you know, between that and some targeted intercession thing, we've cultivated and shifted the spiritual atmosphere in our community. So that's a bit of the big picture. So we're going to share a little bit of some of what this actually looks like. You know, what's the spiritual reading look like, or spiritual art look like? And so Susan's going to start out with that, and then we might tag team and give some testimonies.
Okay, so with spiritual readings, we use that word obviously just to fit with the people that come, but basically it's just giving a prophetic word. But we use language, so we always say the Spirit of Jesus. We try not to say Father, because that has different connotations for people, and we say our source is the Spirit of Jesus. We're just going to tap into what He wants to say to you this evening, and it's going to be encouraging, affirming, and uplifting. And then normally we have either two or three of us on a team, and we'll just wait for a few moments and then give whatever we have to the person. And often it will be that if we're with two or three of us, often it will kind of coincide and it will build on one another. It will be a bit like a jigsaw or whatever we get. To really encourage people. And people that come, they are the New Age people, but also it's church people that come, or people that are just interested in what's going on this evening in our local village hall kind of thing. So it's really a variety of people that come, and you have no clue when you are sat there who it's going to be. But it's amazing how God comes through and really gives that encouragement to them. Because we all need to be uplifted, and we all need that encouragement. And a short little testimony was that I was praying once with somebody for this guy who had just come to the area to visit a friend. He was from Sweden. He was from a Lutheran background, but didn't attend that church any longer. And he just came because he was just at the end of, like, he was just having a really rough time. It was in difficulties with his job situation and just different relationships and things, and he was just like, you know, I just need to hear something. So he had some kind of understanding that okay, God speaks, and we were able just to share some simple words about his identity and encourage him and give him courage to step out. Just a very simple word, really, and he went on his way. But then the last light in life that we had, because this is a few years ago, but the last Light and Life we had, there was a report that he actually came back to the village to visit this person again, his friend in the village. And so he came along to the event, and he was sharing with somebody, I think he had another prophetic word given to him, but at the end he was sharing with somebody how the previous word that he had really transformed his life and just gave him such amazing confidence and courage to get out of this job that he was in, and to set up a business, which was his dream, and which is what he'd always wanted to do. And God just really put gave him the encouraging words and confidence for him to say, yeah, I can do this. And so he set up this business, which is going really well now. And he just said all he needed was that encouragement from the Lord. And we can just offer those simple things that can bring that transformation. Mm-hmm. And he said he's doing really well in life now and doing well in his business. So that's just, a little example.
Before you move on to the next thing. I just had a couple to show how simple it is, because I like hearing the voice of God better than prophetic. Because when we think of prophetic, we go back to it has to be this thus saith the Lord type thing. And I mean, the simplest example is when we're flowing in the Spirit. Just last week or the other day when Donnie and I were talking, and I said, man, this place is a tough nut to crack. And for me, that was just an expression that came to me. For Donnie, that was packed with meaning. And I remember sitting, we did a stall one time out in a gala day, out on the streets or whatever. We set up a little table there and said, free spiritual readings and stuff and spiritual art and stuff. And this lady sat down with me. Me and this other guy, and we'd been busy doing something. It was kind of rainy, and we were busy setting things up or whatever, and somebody said, hey, this person needs a spiritual reading. Can you do it? So it's not like we'd been really kind of praying and getting in the groove or whatever. We just kind of sat down and said, okay. And I sat down, and I love Downton Abbey. And as soon as I sat down, this picture of the library in Downton Abbey came to me. And so I just felt like the Lord said, share that picture with her. And so she... So I said, just we started, praying. I said, I just saw this picture of like this gorgeous library in like a real stately home. I said, if you watch Downton Abbey, kind of like the library there. And I said, I feel like the Lord is inviting you, the Spirit of Jesus, is inviting you to come into this library and to meet you there. And she just started shaking, and she was like, my dream, she said, if I could have any one room anywhere in my, just to live in, she said, it would be the library of one of these stately homes. She said, that's just always, I just love that or whatever. And she said, but I'd never be, invited in. And I said, no, the picture I had was you were invited in. I said, all the books on the shelf. And this came to me. The only starting point was I had a picture of this library. And as I started talking, I said, what Jesus is saying, all the books on the shelf are about him. And what he's doing is he's inviting you in to the place that you love to be in. And he said he wants to unveil who he is. He wants to show you who he is. And all these books are there for you to read. And you can just sit there and enjoy it. And he's, it was blew her away because it met her right where she's at. And the other guy shared a little bit, and then she got up and left. And we just saw her. She went to her family, and she was literally shaking like that. Because it had such an impact. Then a minute later, her daughter comes over, who was standing at a distance, but it was literally that simple. It wasn't anything, because God just gives us something for us. It's just a picture for them. It's tremendous meaning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So,
yeah.
We also do spiritual art, so you don't have to be a great artist to be involved in spiritual art. It's just doing short little pictures that you get from the Lord that you can give to somebody. And often pictures really speak to people. Pictures really speak to me, and the colours and different things like that. And so there are a team of people that do spiritual art, and then you draw a picture and pray for the person while they're sat there. And then once you've done the picture, you give it to them and kind of share what the Lord is saying. And again, that's very... very encouraging for them. And again, there's so many people just seem to be attracted to the spiritual art. It's always one of the ones that's really busy and really full. And so often the prophetic word that they'll get from the spiritual reading store will really fit with the picture that then the next people give them, kind of thing. And then again, that's encouraging that everything is just being confirmed. And yeah, I've been stepping out a little bit in the spiritual art, and I was going to bring a picture today, but I didn't get a chance. But I did have a picture that came to me that I wanted to share to encourage, and that was to encourage you, Anne. This morning I had a picture of, I had the word Silver Surfer come to mind, a fun picture, and you were riding on the crest of this wave. And I had a sense that you're somebody that watches. I feel like you're somebody that really prays and watches in the spirit. And you're on like this crest of the wave and enjoying the ride. And there's a sense of ease and but a sense of journey. You have journeys and there's still a lot more journey to go. Mm-hmm. And just the sense that the wave is a big wave that's going to come crashing in to the land and you're going to be there ready, like trying to flow and to bring in, I believe you're already doing it, but to bring in greater measure God's glory and God's presence into the land. But you're somebody that's surfing and enjoying with the Lord, but at the same time you're watching on the horizon what's going on all the time and ushering it in. And I felt like God just wanted to encourage you in that and to share.
Yeah, actually, that's a bit of the artist, because I went to the first one they had in soft coats. And there were two girls at the Bills Guard. And one of them was the first night going to be doing it on their own, but I was the first person to sit down at the table to make an appointment. And the person who'd been doing it before said to me, do you mind if we both, because they gave this girl encouragement, and I said, yeah, no problem. And they both came up with the same drawing. They both came up with a jug with the the same colours as well, and the same things coming out of it.
Wow.
I thought of it again to see.
Yeah. Oh, okay. One of the interesting ones that we do is hand massage. And several years ago, before any of this started, before any of this was even thought up, one of our friends, she's been in YWAM for a long time, and she felt like the Lord. I just hear one day that she has decided to do a degree in holistic therapy. And immediately I thought, what's happened to Gail? I thought she was a strong Christian. You know, why would she be going into the, you know, because to me, I just imagined holistic therapy to be kind of this alternative, you know, thing. I didn't know what it was, but I just envisioned that, you know. And so she goes through and does this course in holistic therapy. Well, when she finishes the course, is right around the time that Light and Life is developing. And the Lord gives her this vision about using hand massage and having a hand massage doll. And what he started to speak to her was, he gave her, well, she calls it her theology of touch. But the Lord started to show her how much he likes to touch people. And there's so much imagery in Scripture, so imagery and real things, you know, of God touching someone or, you know, embracing them. You know, Jesus went to the man that everybody else went away from, the leper, and Jesus reached out and touched him.
Yes.
And it changed his life, you know, because God wants to touch us. And what we discovered is, you know, we were designed for touch. God created our body. He created all the nerve endings and everything. It feels good to have a hug because God designed us that way.
Yes.
Touch feels good because God designed us that way. But there's so many people that either experience negative touch through abuse or something like that, or they don't feel any touch at all. They're just neglected, and they never experience touch. And so she came up with just this simple way, you know, of releasing the touch of God through hand massage. And it's amazing. Again, somebody will sit down, you know, you sit here, there's a little table in between and a pillow and stuff, you just lay your hands there. And she has all these different oils, you know, they can choose a nice oil that smells nice and you'll use that oil and rub it on their hand and just give them a nice hand massage. And obviously in the natural it feels very good, but in the context of us creating this atmosphere of just full of the presence of God and then doing that and with intention, really intentionally releasing that they would experience the love of God through touch. And then a lot of times what we'll do is you know, again, this is about 15 minutes. They're sitting there, so it's very nice, relaxing time. And you're just asking the Lord for a word that you can share with them. Or sometimes just bless them. You know, at the end you'll say, could I just speak a blessing over you? And then you just bless their life. Mm-hmm. And just at our last, one of our last fairs, just a couple months ago, this girl in the village came to the Lord through the hand massage. Because the girl on her team was doing hand massage, and the Lord gave her a prophetic word, and she shared it. And it just, you know, it just hit her in the heart, and she just began weeping. And then Amy on the team just began to unfold what the Lord wanted to say to her through that. And she was there for a lot longer than 15 minutes, you know, but she, you know, at the end of it, she came up to me, and you know, we have a packet, we give people to come to the Lord. But this girl came to the Lord just because we had a place for her to encounter God. And so that's a real, a really neat one. And another one, we do a healing stall for healing body, soul, and spirit. And again, I probably don't have to explain that too much because it's something as a church we're probably used to, but just expecting that God will come and touch and heal people. And a lot of it we find is even emotional stuff. You know, you can pray through forgiveness. Yeah, sometimes somebody's sick in their body because they've got unforgiveness. You know, there's somebody that's abused them or hurt them, and they've held unforgiveness. And so sometimes just that little word of the Lord is there anybody you need to forgive? And they might think that, and, you know, and they pray for forgiveness, and all of a sudden they get healed in their body as well. And just how, you know, we're body, soul, and spirit. We're very intricately designed, and it all is connected. And when one thing's hurting, it can affect another aspect of our being and stuff. And so, you know, again, there's just different things. But I remember one time a lady, the first time I ever sat on the healing stall, this woman came and sat down, and, you know, she said, I've just had arthritis for the last couple of years. And, you know, she's moving her hands like that. It was hard to move them. And we just prayed. I hadn't done this very much. I hadn't been involved in Light and Life. I just wanted to see what it was about. And I sat down, and we prayed a two-minute prayer. And all of a sudden she said, Oh my gosh! I can swing my tennis arm again, you know, and it was that, and man, to the unbeliever, I mean, that speaks volumes. You know, when God heals him.
We also do what's called personality styles, which is a basic questionnaire, and they get to answer different questions to help them kind of look at what their personality is like. We all have slightly different personalities, and it's helpful to see more what our personality is to help us, but also see how we can relate to somebody else and why they do things the way that they do and you don't, and vice versa. And so things like it identifies a bit more if you have more of a leader quality, or if you're more of a carer, more of an innovator, different things like that. And I guess in Christian circles, sometimes you can do quite a few of these different tests that you can do to kind of look up more about how you're made up and use who God's made you to be. But in the secular world, maybe there isn't so many out there, but all the ones that aren't so helpful. But this is a Christian one to really help see what giftings and talents that people have. So they fill out this questionnaire, and then somebody on the team will go through it with them. And then after that, there's also somebody that's just praying and will prophesy over them. If God's got any specific words in terms of direction or calling and that kind of thing. And so often that's helpful as well. And I was on that stall last time, and it was really encouraging that there was two girls that came along about 15 and 16, and they weren't quite sure what they wanted to go on to next. And so we were able to just really encourage them, help them identify a little bit what some of their giftings are, how they're wired a bit more, and be able to pray for them as well. So they went away really encouraged.
Amen.
Yeah. And it's such a fun one, because sometimes when you couple this is who you are, you know, and those can be quite profound, but then the prophetic word that can speak into your destiny, you know, because God will give something that just gives them a little flavor of their destiny. And a little bit like the guy with the spiritual reading they had, you know. He was in a job, for whatever reason, he chose that occupation, but it wasn't his passion. And just that one word that they gave him and said, you know, look, why don't you pursue your passion? And however it came about, I don't know, but whatever they said you know, led him to change, and he thrived, you know, because he stepped into what he was designed for.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite ones, and I haven't done this one, but I think it's probably an extremely practical one that can be taken, especially into the workplace or family or into relationships, is dream interpretation. Because everybody has dreams. And, you know, so many people have dreams, and commonly they'll have reoccurring dreams. We'll find out in dream interpretation stuff. Somebody will have, they may have had a dream over the course of years that they've had this reoccurring dream. And sometimes it's bothered them, or they, you know, they just haven't known what to do with it. And, you know, to sit down and to have somebody just look at the dream, you know, ask the Lord. But also, there's so much, you know, the colors in dreams are important, and the imagery and stuff, you know. You see a vehicle, you know, a lot of times a vehicle represents ministry, you know. And, you know, when you see your dad is driving the vehicle, the dad represents the Father God. And you know, there's just different things that they kind of, the dreams one, you know, there's lots of books and stuff out there to learn about some of the imagery that comes in dreams. If you don't just have a gift from God to interpret dreams, you know, there's people that have studied it have worked out that there's significant, you know, common threads and everything. But again, with the dream interpretation, I just imagine if you could develop that and get a bit confident in it, you know, going into your workplace and somebody comes in one morning just casually, gosh, you know, I had a weird dream last night, and they share it. If you could speak into that and say, well, you know what? You know, do you care if I give you some insight? I feel like maybe, you know, the Bible talks about dreams a lot, and I think God might have something to say to you. It's a wide open door, a very natural door, because it's relevant. It speaks right into something that's real to them. We had a guy just at our last fair came to dream interpretation stall, and he was a spiritualist. And spiritualist churches, the guys where they kind of talk to the dead and stuff. You know, if you've got a dead grandmother or something that died, and they'll bring a message from your grandmother. And so that's what this guy, he was the guy that would stand up front and do this. And he came to the dream interpretation stall. He'd been doing this for 20 years. And he came to our fair and sat down for dream interpretation. And man, the guy that he sat with is one of these guys, very high prophetic gifting, and he just read his mail. And I mean, he told him stuff, past, present, and future. And this guy was blown away. And he said, I have never, I mean, he operates in these circles, he said, I have never encountered that level of accuracy and depth, but also the love and the encouragement that was with it, you know, because it was a life-giving thing. And he was blown away.
Wow.
And he came to the Lord. You know? So you know, these are tools, and we've kind of explained how they work in the light and life setting. But what we got to thinking, you know, is when I sat back and started looking at this, and I thought, you know, it was just thinking outside of the box. They thought, how can we reach this set of people? And they developed something that we do naturally that was an open door for that set of people. But what we've discovered is what's going on here? Oh, right, yeah. We, you know, all these things in one form or another, you can take out into the community. and sometimes it requires a little bit of step of faith or whatever, or a little bit of prompting. But I think the key is, if we learn to cultivate that in the church,
yeah,
if we develop that in the church, in a safe context, in people that we love and trust, and, you know, and we can get it wrong here, you know,
yeah,
that's where you cultivate this. And then it becomes natural when you go out there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I was thinking when I was thinking through this morning, at the YWAM base where Susan and I work, we constantly have people coming and going, or a mission team going out, or something. And so at almost every time we gather is in a community, like a staff meeting or something, we're praying for somebody, for something. And you know, the way we pray for people, almost never do we just gather around somebody and pray, Lord, would you bless them, and God, we pray that this would happen, or whatever. We all stand around them, and we just wait on the Lord. And then we say, you know, the Lord just gave me a picture. I just sense the Lord is wanting to say this. And when you guys go out, be looking for this, because God seems to be highlighting this. And and it could be a picture, it could be a word of scripture, it could be, you know, just a word of encouragement. You know, it might be God really encouraging them, you know, calling out qualities in them that, you know, that they're going to use, but also to just build them up so that when, they feel like they've got something going on. And that's the way we practice in the church and in home groups, just together when we're, you know, we're with one another, whatever. We can cultivate this, and then when we go out, it's not as intimidating. And if we go out with our little antenna up, you know, I like the image of a mobile phone image didn't work very good here on the island, but on mainland, there's always a signal, you know, there's stuff going through, and it's when you tune into it, then you can tune into those signals. And it's the same as Christians, you know, God's always speaking. God's always out there, and it's just when we learn to tune into God that then we can, you know, release that. And so if we go with intention about our day, when we're shopping or going here and there, or having coffee or whatever, we can do it with intention. And you're going to maybe tell a story about with the art and stuff?
Yeah, so just this last week, Anne, who's part of our team but not here today, went out and did some prophetic art in the town, and so she's just sat in the arts coffee shop. And she just felt just to doodle and draw a picture, and she drew a picture of a heart, and then I think it was like the river underneath. And she just felt that there was somebody, a lady sat on the next table by herself, that she just felt to go and give this picture to. So that's a bit of a stepping out of your comfort zone. But when she went across, the lady was really receptive, and she was actually quite teary already when she got over there. So she kind of knew, okay, yeah, this is probably an appointment, God, and that she was able to give this heart to this lady and share different words with the lady. And the lady was really just opened up about her different things in her life and really a lot of difficulties that she had in her life. And just how being Anne was able to really just share how much God loves her. Just a very simple message. And this lady's been in one of the churches here all her life and just felt like she'd never been good enough. And Anne was able to share the simple message, Jesus wants your heart. And at that stage, she was taking it on board. She didn't respond at that moment. But Anne was able to write the simple message on the back of the paper as well, and give it to the lady, and so the lady has that now with her that she can look at it again and hopefully God will continue to work on her heart. But that's just a simple thing, just as you're having coffee or whatever. Those that like to do art, or even if you're not that good at art but want to develop it, you don't have to be a really good artist. You could do a simple doodle, a simple picture, and then just go and give it to somebody, and allow a conversation to open up. So that's an example of taking it out there.
Yeah. I remember talking to a lady from Isla, a friend of mine that I met that's from Isla, and she was keen, you know, she's just biting at the bit to kind of see people, you know, encounter Jesus on her island, and it's a bit of a hard ground there too to plow on. And so anyway, she just, there was a village gala day coming up, and she must have gone to, I don't know if she's involved in Light and Life, I think she had gone to one of the fairs once, and she had learned how to do the hand massage, that's what it was, and she thought, you know what, I could set up a table and just offer free hand, you know, relaxing, who wants to come and sit in a relaxing hand massage? And she was amazed at the number of people that came from this gala day, you know, and would just come and sit down, and again, she would just, she'd speak a blessing over them. If the Lord gave her a prophetic word, she'd share, and it was amazing. Just her on her own going out, you know, and God really met with her, but more importantly, met with the people. And, you know, some of these things are very natural, you know, I mean, there is, I suppose, in these two cases, there's a little bit of step of faith on our hand to do that. But I would say almost every time I've heard of anybody taking a little step of faith and doing something, at the end, man, they're bouncing off the walls and they're sharing testimonies because God always meets with us, doesn't he? Because God's even more excited to encounter people, you know, and so he gives us that opportunity to be used by him. And so anyway, One other thing I wanted to share in context with this is one of the things that dawned on me after I'd been organizing these fairs for a while was when you're sitting at the stall, because we work with YWAM, and I remember what the context was. I was meeting people at the door, and it just so happened that this one time when we were doing it, we had a school going on, and there was an international speaker that had come to speak at the school. We get speakers from all over the world, but we don't have to pay for all over the world prices for these speakers. So anyway, the speaker had come. He'd been a missionary with YWAM for 20 years, and he came through the door. And just after him, this group of people from the Spiritualist Church came through the doors. And it just dawned on me. I thought, you know, the people sitting at the stall, our team that's sitting at the stalls, they have no idea. It could be somebody from the Spiritualist Church that sits down in front of them, or it could be a missionary, somebody that's been a missionary for 20 years sitting in front of them, or it could be, you know, a mother of three that's, you know, just struggling with the daily challenges. You have no idea. But God has something for everybody.
Yes.
Every single person can meet with God. And the Lord showed me, He said, this isn't just for the lost. He said, this is a great way to reach out to the lost. He said, I've got something for everybody. Mm-hmm. And I can, and the guy that was a missionary could have a word that was just as profound as you know, the spiritualist guy, or the Reiki healer, or the witch. I mean, we've got all kinds of people, or just ordinary, normal, average person that you work with, you know, that's intrigued or whatever, that came along for whatever reason. But what the Lord reminded me of was this teaching I heard a while back about evangelism. And as soon as we hear the word evangelism, most of us, unless we're an evangelist, kind of gets a little nervous, you know. You think, man, we've got to go out there, and I don't know if I know the Romans Road, or I don't know if I know all the verses, or how to lead somebody to the Lord, or what if they want to pray a prayer, and how should, you know, and all that stuff. Because the church has built up this false facade of what evangelism is, and we feel like we have to do the whole shebang right then, and most of us feel ill-equipped to do that. And some years ago, this guy, his last name was Engel, I don't know what his first name is, but he developed this thing, they call it now the Engel Scale. And basically, it's a picture of evangelism. And he looked, everybody in the world is somewhere on this scale. And if conversion is the middle point, then, you know, it's kind of point, ground zero or whatever. And from there, you go down, negative 1, 2, 3, all the way to negative 10. And so somebody that's at negative 10 is kind of the pagan, you know, hates church, you know, into all kind of occultic stuff, you know. And maybe the person at 3 is somebody that's, you know, they're just gone to church a couple times, you know, a little bit interested, but, you know. And he said the goal of evangelism is to move somebody from where they're at closer to Jesus.
Yeah.
And if they're at 10... it's silly to think that you're going to pray a prayer with them and see them come into the kingdom. And if they do, that it's actually going to last, probably. You know, you might have gotten them to pray some prayer. But if you move them to think, well, okay, maybe I was a little bit wrong about God. Maybe he's not so bad. If they've made that step with their encounter with you, you've led somebody on their journey to the Lord. And if we view evangelism as everyone's on a journey, and our goal is just to help them come a few steps closer to the Lord, then we're all evangelists. And we can. And sometimes it can come just by the smile. You know, you see the cashiers are going through and they've had a bad day, and you just smile at them and say, you know, one encouraging word to them. That can shift, and you know, that can shift their day right there. But it might be, you know, that could be a little point in their life, you know. But and so even the things that we do, and so I used to wonder, you know, if somebody comes and they had this powerful encounter and then they go and we don't know what's happened to them, we don't know where they went. And that used to frustrate me, and I still like to follow up when we can, but if we can't, I thought, you know what, that's okay. They've had an encounter with the Lord that has been outside their bubble, and, you know, a week, a month, a couple months later, something, they're going to have another encounter, and they're going to start connecting those dots. And the Lord's going to bring him to himself, you know. And the beauty is then the scale goes on up all the way, you know, from there. when, after conversion, there's more and more and more. And so all this stuff, that's why the voice of God, that's why the prophetic is so profound, because yes. it speaks life mm-hmm. into everybody, no matter where mm-hmm. they're at. Mm-hmm. And we as the church can do that. And so we wanted to share this morning to give a picture of something that we've come across that's outside of the box, but it's really powerful, and it works for that context. But also for me, once I've been involved in Light and Life, it's just got me thinking, you know, it's taken me outside of the box. So then you can start thinking outside of the box, and you think, well, what do I have? You know, what am I good at that somehow I can relate that to the kingdom, that I can, and it doesn't have to be, you know, squeezing in a Bible verse or getting, you know, it can just be, how can I use that to speak life into somebody and to point them, you know, to Jesus. And so I find all this very inspiring, because it makes whoever we are, God can and will use us if we make ourselves available to Him. And I think God designed it to be in a very real and a very natural way. And so, when do we have? We had one other thing we were going to do, but I didn't know how much time. Is that okay? Okay, yeah. Do you want to go get our boxes? Okay. I see we got something upstairs that we put together. See if there's anything else I wanted to say before. I can share another testimony of just a fun healing one. One of our guys is really keen to take all this stuff out onto the streets and everything, and so he's just always in that mode of things. And he had gone out one night to get some chips from the local India cottage, and he had gone in to get chips, and somehow I can't remember what he did, but for some reason the guy was complaining of a sore shoulder or something, and he was like, well, you know, he said, you know, I believe God is real and that God can heal, you know, would you like me to pray for your shoulder? And the guy hesitated a little bit and said, well, okay. And so he reached over and prayed for his shoulder, and it got better, and the guy was like, whoa, that's really cool. He's like, my back hurts too. Can you pray for my back? You know, so he prayed for his back. And there were a couple people in there watching that, you know. And so while he was praying, this little boy walked in, and he said, are you a preacher? And the man behind the counter said, no, he's a healer. And Greg said, well, he said, no. He said, I'm not a healer. He said, but God heals. He said, I believe God can heal. And the boy said, well, my hand is kind of sore. Can you pray for me, you know? And he prayed for the little boy's hand. And, you know, nothing, you know, it wasn't cancer going away or anything like that at that moment. But, man, it was sore and the pain went away.
Hallelujah.
You know? And man, that spoke something to them. And that changed something in them. And we've got more stories. I mean, there's just loads of stories on like that, and that trailed on from that, even after that. But it's just little snippets of how, when we make ourselves available, God loves to do that. So we're going to do a little exercise with everyone. And so to demonstrate, I'm going to get this. We've got a couple boxes here with a whole bunch of things in it. And in a moment, you're going to come up and you're going to look at the box and you're going to pick something out of the box. And so this is something my daughter did with us in our home group the other day. And it's a fun way to practice hearing the voice of God. And so you're going to pick up something out of the box, and then I'll give you instructions. But so I've picked up this magazine, and I feel like, Sandra, the Lord has a word for you in this magazine. And a couple things. One, the main thing is the title of the magazine is Victory. And also the subtitle is, and I'd actually seen this magazine before when I was pulling stuff out, and so I felt like the Lord highlighted this just this morning during worship. but the title is, This is Your Supernatural Year. And just while we were worshiping, I just looked around and I saw you, and the Lord just said, there's a word for you in that. This is going to be a supernatural year, and this is going to be a year of victory. This is going to be a year of victory for you. And in that, the Lord reminded me, He said, you know, sometimes we take a path that doesn't always feel victorious, and it feels like a rocky path. And I just felt like the Lord says, you've been through some rocky patches and some hard patches too, where you haven't felt victorious, and it hasn't even maybe felt like a victorious year. And the Lord just reminded me of David when he was in the caves of Adullam. You know, the Lord, way back when he went to Jesse's house, the prophet anointed David as king over Israel. And it was, I think it was like 20 years before he actually physically became the king. But the anointing and the declaration that is who he was way back then when he was a shepherd boy. And I feel like the Lord wanted to encourage you. So even if you hear this thing of victory, which is exciting or whatever, if you don't necessarily, I don't know how you're feeling in your heart or whatever, where you feel, but I felt like the Lord wanted to encourage you. This is a promise. This is going to be a year. You're going to be victorious. You're going to be victorious over personal things in your life, but you're also going to be victorious in a bigger way. You know, you're going to have a victorious kind of life and ministry or you know, influence with the people around you. And not to let the hard places that you're in, if you feel like, I don't know, for whatever reason, the cave of the Adullam came to me, and I don't even remember the whole story except that David was in this cave hiding, you know, hiding from Saul. And he wasn't feeling very victorious at the time, probably. And yet, he was holding on to that word. He knew that he was anointed as the king. And he was in a hard place, but that didn't change the declaration over his life. And that didn't change that it came to pass. And so, but anyway, I'm going to speak that over you, that the Lord says this is going to be your year, of your supernatural year, and this is going to be a year of victory for you. So that's a little example of what we're going to do. So what we're going to have everybody do, if you'd like to come up and look in the box and pick out an object from the box, you can ask the Lord if something piques your attention, or you can just go and pick something that sparks your eye. So if you want to, or we can bring the boxes around, but if you want to do this. This is called practicing where it's safe. Okay? It might seem a little intimidating. This is safe. We're all in the same boat because we didn't even tell Donnie and Katrina we were doing this. So nobody knew we're doing this. And just to encourage you, it's going to be a one-on-one thing. You're going to share with somebody next to you, okay? So you're not going to come up and prophesy something to somebody over the group. But you're going to share with somebody next to you. And this is just a little exercise, but God meets us in the exercise. Some of you are going to walk out of here really encouraged today because the Lord's going to speak to you. And some of you are going to be really encouraged because the Lord's going to speak to somebody. So. What's that?
Oh,
right. Yeah, watch out.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. So what we're going to do now, has everybody got something? Okay. This is your safe time to do it. We're all in the same boat. So if everybody wants to get something, and we're just going to sit for a minute we're going to get in pairs. So presumably whoever's next to you would be the easiest, unless you want to get up and move around a little bit. And we're just going to get in pairs. And what you're going to do is you're going to take the item that you have, and you're going to say, Lord, would you give me a word for somebody, this other person, based on the item that you have? So what you have is going to give you a word for somebody else. And it's just a, you know, kind of a fun practice way to ask God to give me something for this other person. So, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So just take a couple minutes to sit and pray, and then when you're ready, you can share, and then you can flip-flop, and the other person shares the word that they have for you. Mm-hmm. kid. Is there